Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here on a Tuesday night. Brian Sexton with you, and we expect the head coach to join us at some moment or point in time. We're not exactly certain when, but coming off of a big win, we anticipate he's ready to get in here and talk with you about this week's game against the Buffalo Bills. Probably look back briefly on the Jets game. You know, the interesting thing is when they lose, he wants to talk about the game for, about 3 minutes. When they win, he wants to talk about the game for only about 3 minutes. Very consistent, and here he is right now, the head coach, as he grabs a seat. You got to be in here early. You never know what I might say. How are you? Get Joe to turn your microphone on there.
Good.
How are you tonight? You're good?
I'm still good.
I was just telling folks, win or lose, we got about 3 minutes on the pass game. And here's an interesting one for you. Everyone wants to talk about Maurice taking the knee or David hitting Mercedes or Zach or Mike Thomas. I thought the play of that drive was when Mike Walker played defensive back on Darrell Revis early in the drive.
That was a
remember
good,
that? I mean,
that,
for
was,
the,
that was a good play.
The
yeah.
moment that the ball left David's hands, it was too far. And Walker recognized he had to go and break it up because Revis had gotten a beat on it. If he doesn't make that play, the drive ends right there. So
one, of those,
one of those little plays
that
it was
gets lost yeah. that is so important. That's, there's so many little plays like that, and you never know which one's going to make the difference.
I want to talk about your team with 5:04 left to play in the game. The second half had not been very productive for you, and all of a sudden, game on the line.
That's an understatement.
Well, you know, I figured you could use the big adjectives tonight, but you hadn't had the same offense that you had in the first half, and the defense had given up some plays. But with 5:04 left to play. Boy, you just ground it out for everything that it's worth. Key third down conversions. It was just a beautiful drive to watch your team put together.
It was a beautiful thing to be able to make the plays at crunch time. We had to have it. It played really, really well to start that ball game.
Yeah.
And never could have expected to go and put up over 250 yards and three scores in the first four possessions on offense. I mean, that was not just scores, touchdowns.
Right.
Against a very good defense. That is a good defense. And so we were able to get that done, and then we just, it's almost like, you know, you couldn't find a way to get a first down. I mean, they turned up the heat a little bit, and we weren't, you know, converting third downs, and next thing you know, three and out. Next thing you know, we even get a couple turnovers and don't do anything with those, and next thing you know, we're hanging on at the end, and not just hanging on, having to come back and actually pull one out.
Right.
So, heck of a job, though, by the football team, never blinking, you know, continuing to fight and finding a way and then making the plays at the end of the game to give us a victory.
Life in the National Football League. Have you been surprised at the variety of opinions on a move that obviously worked, taking the knee at the one-yard line? Last night I was watching ESPN at halftime, and, you know, they're banging, and Tom Jackson says, I don't like this, and Chris Berman says, what about that? And it just depends on where you go, but, I mean, it worked.
Well, you have to remember, they're paid to have an opinion.
No, I understand that. I'm
paid
business.
To win football games.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could have an opinion, and then the next day, does it matter? I mean, you said yeah or no, and you move on. I mean, they're not the ones that are out there with their neck on the line.
True enough.
So I think, you know, the reality of it is each coach has to do what he thinks is best for his football team, and that's the way you have to approach it. And, you know, it was clear in my mind that that was – clearly the high percentage play. And I think if you did a probability chart and looked at all the different probabilities, I think it would come out with a significant lead over any other option.
Was Scobie 6 of 6 inside 40 yards? You know, I mean, it made sense from that perspective.
Well, it's a PAT.
Yeah.
Now, unless you have that big D tackle from Cleveland that blocks.
Sean Rogers, yeah.
He munches on PATs. So if you had a guy like that,
Maybe changes it a little bit.
No, not maybe. Definitely. Because he's going to block one out of every five. And this guy's unbelievable. He blocked one last night.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it. I thought what was really interesting was you go with that particular strategy, and it works, and Rex Ryan's over on the other side with his freeway call that says, let him score, we want to get the ball back.
Right.
All that did was just augment the decision even more. You don't want to score, they want you to score. Talk about bizarre in an NFL game.
That was an interesting twist to the end of a really good football game. Had to be very entertaining to watch.
It was.
You know, a lot of good football being played out there, and that's a big win for us to go on the road in a tough environment against another team that needs it, coming off their bye, rested, ready. A team that at 3-0, you talk about the talking heads and those experts out there.
They had them at the top.
Okay, so at 3-0, I'm watching the broadcast of the Miami Dolphins-New York Jets game. And the Jets are up at halftime, and they're showing their schedule. And they said, yeah, they did a great job knocking off New England. This team is really special. And they said, and they showed a schedule, and it had us on there and others. And, of course, the Dolphins, who they were playing, and ended up losing to. But they said, I can see maybe one loss between now and the next time they play the Patriots. Mike Tirico is the one that said it. And I was like, wow.
Been around the game, too.
I'm like, wow. I mean, they're just counting. They looked at Jacksonville like an automatic.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. I mean, how can you think you know that much about a season that's just beginning? And that's what they're paid
that's
to
good
do.
Point.
That's what they're paid that's to really do. Point. So. The people that say yes, no, good, bad, it really doesn't matter. It's about the football team, the work that we put in during the week getting ready, and then the preparation, and then the execution based on that preparation on Sundays. That's what we're about.
You know, like a lot of people, before the season begins, I like to go down and look and try to guess what's a win, what's a loss. Not just for the Jaguars, but, you know, when I follow the Kansas Jayhawks, whatever it may be, I just look, see, never have ever been right. Not even close.
How are the Jayhawks doing?
Never good. They've lost five in a row, but... Yeah, they started 5-0 now.
Basketball starts tonight, doesn't it?
It does. They play Memphis tonight, so
I'm looking forward to that. Hoops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right, okay. Number one in the country, and we'll leave it at that. Take a break, folks. Be the first of 10 people to buy a new Motorola Droid smartphone. Easy for them to say. Motorola Droid smartphone on Monday, November the 23rd at a Verizon Wireless store in Mandarin, Orange Park, Regency, or East Jacksonville. You'll get a free pair of tickets to the Jags-Texans game here on December the 6th. Back after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Jaguars fans enter to win $50,000 towards a new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. PrudentialNetworkRealty.com is where you'll find all the details. Brian Sexton back with the head coach of the Jaguars. Jack Del Rio news of today. Your opponent this week, the Buffalo Bills, have released head coach Dick Geron from his contract. How does that affect your preparation? We talk all the time about a quarterback change or a defensive end that may or may not play. We rarely get the chance to talk about a coaching change in the midway point of the season like this. Does that dramatically alter, or do you expect that they'll do the same things they do, just someone else calling the plays?
Yeah, you cannot. I mean, there's just too much, you know, effort, time, work, commitment that goes into putting a football team together for a season. And during the middle of the season, I mean, there's certainly a wrinkle or two that you could see. A different approach, maybe a different approach to the game in terms of game management, and when you might try certain things. But in terms of like the basic structure, I mean, they can't all of a sudden start new terminology on offense, new terminology on defense. They're not all of a sudden going to become a 2-5, you know, whatever. I mean, you just can't do that.
Can't fundamentally change who you are.
So they're going to be who they are. I mean, and you know, normally I've been around, you know, quite a few years. I've been on that side. I mean, I've been a player. Bum Phillips, the year Bum Phillips got fired, but we went out the very next week and played great, won 29-3 against the Rams coming in there.
Okay,
and you know, so you never know. Sometimes you get a bounce. Now the following week we went right back to what we had been, but you never know if you could get a bounce. I mean, I know one thing. There'll be some guys shaking up.
Yeah,
guys that maybe have been coasting along, think they're in good shape. They'll snap too, get their attention. Anytime somebody like that, you know, the head of the organization loses, the head coach loses his job, there'll be some guys straightening up in their chairs.
You know, the thing that makes it even more of a muddied situation is that on Monday after the loss in Tennessee, Dick Geron said, hey, you know, we're looking at all personnel options, and he was talking about two positions in particular. Obviously, Trent Edwards was benched in the loss to the Titans, and they were talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, who we saw in Cincinnati last year, and then they were talking about Fred Jackson and Marshawn Lynch. A lot of people up in Buffalo think Marshawn Lynch should take a seat and Fred Jackson should go in. So it's, I mean, you've got to really prepare for this game.
Well, both backs play, and they both have a lot of tape because Marshawn, you know, had the time missed early this season with the suspension.
That's true.
And
so, about that one.
And both guys are on tape, and we saw both of these players before, and they're both really good.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing they have is they have two terrific running backs, and they've got a big, young offensive line that has some guys we really liked in the draft in the interior, Levitre and Woods, a couple of young players. They're going to be good players. So they've got an offensive line that's young and has got some athleticism and a couple of really good backs. And Lee Evans is as good as any deep receiver in the game. Terrell Owens obviously is a big target. They've got weapons. And which quarterback, they both played a bunch. So again, there's a situation where we can study both players and not knowing which one we may get is not going to be a huge distraction.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's grab, we'll start at the top. Grab Greg, who joins us from the west side of town. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Hi, Greg. Good evening.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to call up and tell you great job on the win. It was an awesome win. And the whole thing with Mojo kneeling down is just being overblown. You know, you get paid to win games, not win popularity contests, and that's what counts. So it was an excellent play out pod. It was a stroke of genius. I have a question for you this week, and I was going to ask about the Dick Geron thing, but you've already answered that. So I'll ask one other one that I thought was interesting. The tackle that was made by Reggie Nelson on Sanchez, where there was a helmet-to-helmet contact, you guys got flagged for the rough and the passer call.
Yes.
I'm curious, do y'all have specific drills that y'all practice for tackling the quarterback since they are so picky about that? Is there a specific skill set y'all train on? And I'll take that answer off the air.
Okay, appreciate the call, Greg. You can tell definitely a fan that follows the game very closely. So you're talking about the detail of tackling, how you strike somebody. There is a strike zone for the quarterback that's different than the other players. And basically, you can't go at the knees or below, and you can't go at the, you know, neckline or head area or above. And so, there is a strike zone there. I think what happened in the situation with Reggie on Sunday is that the quarterback actually was chucking and ducking.
So
he actually lowered his head into him. So that even shrinks the strike zone a little bit more. And we just have to, you know, be aware of that. And know that they're going to call. Anytime you get around the headgear, you're going to get called. And it was a correct call. And so, unfortunately, they just tacked on 15 to that particular play.
355-NFL-1. We appreciate it. Up the road to Savannah, Kevin is standing by. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. Congratulations, Coach. Great game. I don't quite understand all the hoopla over the taking the knee either. It was a right thing to do. My only thing, were you totally dedicated to kick the field goal, or at any point when the clock got below maybe 40 seconds, did you think maybe, you know, slam it on in there? Did you ever consider that?
No, first of all, thanks for the call, Kevin. I appreciate it. once we were committed to doing that, I think the worst thing you can do is then start, you know, trying to get cute, you know. We felt very comfortable about being able to pound it down. We were on the 14 and be able to pound it down with Maurice running and get it to the 1 yard line, take the air out of the game, kick a PAT, and go home with a win. And I think for a lot of people, they're either not able to, like, themselves picture themselves making that kind of call, you know, having the intestinal fortitude maybe to see it through.
That's one way to put it.
Or they just aren't, it's unusual. So they're not really familiar with the thought process.
Most people would just have felt more secure with the lead from that moment. 148
Yeah, that's right. And so you can punch it in there if you're able to. And obviously they wanted that, which gives you your first clue that maybe we're doing something that they don't want us to do, which is a good thing. And not giving them a chance to have the ball and have a chance at a drive, a kickoff return and a drive, to go back and win the game. They had zero chance to win the game so long as we execute a PAT, which is about 98% in the league, 98%. So we had a 98% chance of winning that ball game as long as we were able to take a knee. I'll take those odds.
I mean,
to me,
it's
winning football. The idea is to win the game. And I think people just not being comfortable with it or not really maybe having that intestinal fortitude to see themselves following through on something like that is the biggest reason. But I really don't care, quite honestly. I really don't care. I know it was the right thing. I'm going to boldly do what I think is right for this football team and pray to God it works out for us. And you know, God bless us on Sunday.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's take a break. We'll return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
This portion of Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by North Florida's labor unions. Job done on time and budget, that's the union way. Brian Sexton back with Jack Del Rio, and you can join us as well, 355 NFL, one of the Southside. Tudor standing by. Hello, Tudor.
Hey, Brian. I just wanted to say congratulations to the coach. I thought it was a great game, and I haven't been to the stadium in, I think, two seasons because of medical reasons, but I'm going this weekend, and we're going to have a good game, a good win. And also, I wanted to pick a point out that we have got a dedicated coach. We've got a dedicated team. We've got a number of rookies out there. And I think last week's game was super, and it's going to help us down the road. And that's all I wanted to say, Jack. Really good job, man.
Thank you, Tudor. I appreciate it. I'm glad to hear that your health is improving, and you're going to be back in front of us, or actually we'll be in front of you, but glad to have you back on Sunday, joining the crowd and cheering us on. We certainly appreciate your support, and I do think you made a couple points I'd like to just speak to, and that is we do have a very committed team that's working extremely hard, players and coaches busting their tails to make the city proud. So I appreciate you coming back out, Tudor.
Thanks for the phone call. We go right along now to St. Augustine Beach, where Dave is standing by. Dave, welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Coach, congratulations on a tough, hard-fought, gritty, smart win. I really love the decision to go for the onside kick, even though we didn't really execute it perfectly. That aggressiveness, I think the aggressiveness in the game plan won the game for us on the road this week. You can really see and feel the good vibes coming off of this team. You know, no team ever plays perfect, and mistakes are going to be made, but there's no doubt the best part of that game was seeing the young players produce in crunch time. Mike Thomas, Jarrett Dillard, Zach Miller, the rookies on the front line making play after play after play. I don't know how many times I said, look at that rookie making a big play. Look at that rookie making a big play. The bookend tackles, Terrence Knight and Derek Cox is just, I mean, you can see the future unfolding in front of our eyes, and you're really doing a good job with that, and I really appreciate it. The question that I have, I feel really bad for Jarrett Dillard going down. He had just made a couple huge plays, and it was just so nice to see a young wide receiver go up and snag those balls the way he did. He's just, you could tell the guy's coordinated. You could tell he's focused when he's in there and doing his thing. It's a shame to lose him at this point. I'm glad, you know, Nate Hughes is going to get a chance to redeem himself, hopefully, and I'm also anxious to see in Tyquan Underwood. But my question was, at this point in the season, when you're looking at acquiring another player, what's that process like? Does Gene and do you, with you know, what kind of input do you have as far as a pool of players that you're going to pull from? You know, what's the process in terms of, you know, I guess it depends on who goes out, but who you decide to bring in. Good luck this week, Coach. Have a healthy game, and I'll take it off there.
Okay, appreciate the call, Dave. I think you hit a lot of great points in terms of what's going on here in Jacksonville, and I appreciate that. I think you've got a good feel for exactly what's going on behind the walls here as we're developing some of these younger players, as we're coming together as a football team and scratching and clawing and fighting with a lot of determination each and every week. So you're right. It doesn't always guarantee success, but certainly you saw some great examples this past Sunday. In terms of acquiring players, it's real simple. Gene and his staff do a great job of canvassing the league, the available street talent, that is players that are out on the street right now, the available players that are on other teams' practice squads, our own practice squad, where we're developing players that we think will have a chance to come up at some point during the season. And we basically, you know, Gene looks at the ready list, which he prepares each and every week. I get a copy of the list each and every week of how he sees the league and how he sees the talent pool at each position. I mean, he's very, very thorough in what he does. So we actually talk about these things each and every week prior to the games, before anything even happens. So when something goes down, he's got an idea of what the talent pool is the night after the game. I mean, we're not waiting and talking about it on Monday or Tuesday. I mean, Gene's all over it. So he's done a great job with that, kept me very much in the loop in terms of what's going on and gets my input. And then ultimately, you know, we do what's best for the football team. And in this case, we think bringing Nate up, bringing him back off the practice squad, he had a terrific camp. He just had a couple bad plays in the opener, and then numbers caught up with him. Right. But he'll get an opportunity to get back in the fold. And between him and Underwood, we'll determine during the week who's the guy that's going to be our fourth receiver for the ball game.
To Dave's point, and the way that Maurice is playing this year, Mike Sims-Walker, David Garrard is having, you know, two back-to-back games, what we've seen with him over 110. Not to take anything away from the veterans, but I think one of the things that makes this team so exciting to watch and makes you feel so good about where this team is headed is the way that the quality of the contribution from the rookies. When you see them make clutch catches, yeah, like Zach Miller and Mike Thomas, like Diller did before he broke his ankle, to see the rookie tackles, to see the way that Terrence Knighton has played.
Right.
When you watch this team and you watch everyone play, you can feel good about it, but the rookies in particular really make you feel good.
Well, that class has a lot of class.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that rookie class is, not only are they good football players, but they're the right kind of guys. And I think the other thing that we really have done, we've made a, I mean, you're talking about 28, 29 new players on this roster right now out of 53. That's a significant turnaround. And what we've done is the guys that are here are good people.
Right.
I mean, these are the kind of people that they're out in the community. It's Tuesday. They're out in the community. You got people in hospitals. You got people at schools. You got, you know, doing giving back to the community. And you got guys over here getting treatment, guys working out, doing extra. I mean, this is a good football team. That's what I've been saying since the spring. This is a collection of really good young men, and they're working their tails off. So, you know, you're only going to get better with that environment.
Appreciate your phone call, Dave. We have got a full load of phone calls. Let's take our next break. When we return, we'll get to all of them. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We're going to get on to the Buffalo Bills here in a minute, but Kyle just called in from Fort Stewart with a thought on what turned out to be a key play in the ball game in the first half when Quentin Groves
put a big smile on my face.
Mark Sanchez.
A big smile on my face.
And see, some people might perceive that you were not all that happy because he didn't score.
Well, come on. Go ahead. Let's hear what Kyle has.
What's going on, Kyle?
Well, my question was, what were your thoughts going, you know, when he caught it and then, you know, stumbling and just, you know, barely made it, you know. I know he was excited. You can't, with that kind of stuff going on, you catch the ball, you see the end zone. I know he got really excited and, you know, feet kind of went a little bit faster than he could. But just what were your thoughts running through your mind? And also give us a little inside look on what happened in the locker room later on, you know, what kind of, you know, things were the other players saying to him, or, okay, you know, were they giving him a hard time?
Okay, appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks for the call. All right, let's relive the play. First of all, I've seen this happen. All right.
Has it ever happened to you?
I've not made one of those plays, nor did I have the speed to pull away like that. But Chip Banks at USC back in the day grabbed one of those and scored with it. I mean, just a great play. And I actually referred to that in the defensive meeting not long ago, talked about, you know, I've seen that before. You guys can reach up and catch those. And they were like, yeah, right. Coach, you know, putting in the tape back in the old days. Anyway, Quentin Groves reaches up, grabs a great – I mean, what a great response. Reaches up and grabs one. Derek Harvey did that last year in Tennessee. But then he takes off like a shot. I mean, he is outrunning the wide receiver.
Right.
He is, but his feet are going so fast, it looked like Fred Flintstone. You know, I mean, they're just,
yeah,
bah, 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 and they're just,
right,
they're down, and then he's just so excited, he falls down at the four. And of course, it's embarrassing not to run it in. And of course, his teammates are having a blast with it. I mean, they taped up his locker. They've got a crash site, you know, a Jets end zone sign, and then a crash site where he went down on the 4-yard line. I mean, they're having a blast with it. It's a lot of fun. It's football. That's one of the fun things.
Right.
You know, you talk about a story like that and an experience like that and the camaraderie, the guys busting on each other and all that. That's what makes it so much fun. That's one of the great ups in the game. And then, you know, I mean, that's part of it. So, you know, he's going to get ribbed for a long time.
Well, and he's a guy that's had a lot of attention on him. Second-round pick, people thought he'd be a sack machine. To finally see him make a big play like that had to be good for all of his teammates to see what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, he's capable of making plays. And, you know, he had a forced fumble in the Indy game to start the year.
Right.
He had a big play, big interception in the game Sunday. And he'll continue to play, and hopefully he'll continue to make plays for us.
Appreciate the phone call, Kyle. 355-NFL1. Let's go to Buffalo, where Junior is standing by. Hello, Junior. How are you tonight?
How you doing, Brian? How you doing, Coach? It's real nice to talk to you again. This is a great week for me. Being in Buffalo, got to get all the ribs from being a Jaguar fan in Bills country, but their whole organization is kind of up in uproar right now, as everyone knows.
Stay strong up there, Junior. Stay strong up there.
I will. I wear my colors true up here in Buffalo. One question, like I said, we still can't take this team lightly.
Absolutely not.
And they still have some strengths, especially on defense. Like Kelsey and Denny, they're young. They're not that big, but they can rush. Their strength is their speed. And I know our tackles are young, and they've been having a lot of trouble. They've been doing better, but they have a lot of trouble with that speed of those defensive ends coming around. If we can try to push them out and keep them to the outside and do like Tennessee did and just run up the middle, we got a good chance of getting some good yardage on this team on Sunday.
Junior, I appreciate your call. Listen, one thing about the Tennessee game is 17-17 in the fourth quarter. I think one thing to understand, there will not be any underestimating anyone. Obviously, you know, their owner made a change. He has that ability. It's his prerogative. He can do whatever he wants with his football team. We're going to focus on playing as well as we can play, knowing they have a lot of talent, and any team in this league is capable of putting it together and playing very well on any Sunday. So we'll be getting ready, and they have plenty of strengths. And I think you talked about, you know, one. I think there are others. I think their 1-2 punch at running back is as good as any in the league. They've got weapons at wide receiver. They've got a big young offensive line. I've said that. Defensively, they've got a defensive line that actually is going to get a few guys back this week. And they got a guy named Marcus Stroud who was once here. I know he can play, and he's healthy and looks like he's doing a good job for him. And they've got a linebacker in the middle of their defense is playing very well. I think this football team right here is shown. They've had some real tough losses. I mean, the New England game, they're up. They're really dominating the Patriots and they end up losing that ball game. Just a shame. So they've had a couple things not go their way for this football season. But you can rest assured, Junior, that we will be preparing for a very physical game come Sunday.
355-NFL1. 355-6351. We'll break and return. More with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1. Or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. And we go to Joe up first here in this segment over in Green Cove Springs. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great win, Coach. Hey, Coach, how do you prepare our two young cornerbacks this week, you know, without having Rasheem Mathis to go up against two savvy veterans like T.O. and Lee Evans? I look for them to test our cornerbacks often and early.
Yeah, no question, Joe. We've got a work cut out for us. You know, we'll get our guys ready. It's going to be a challenge. I think every week's a challenge. I think you've seen that, you know, Derek Cox has held his own over there, and we'll get a guy opposite him to be ready to go. And you know, we'll mix coverage with pressure and do what we do defensively and try and do it better and try and execute better. And, you know, for us, it's always about the next guy up gets an opportunity. We expect to play well. And so that's how we're going to approach it.
Tyquan Underwood played last week. Not Tyquan Underwood. Sorry, that's wide receiver. I was thinking of Tyron Brackenridge.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that you've liked ever since the summer when you had him here.
Yeah.
Big guy, runs pretty well.
He's done a great job for us. He's definitely – you know, found a home, made a role for himself here, is a good backup player that's played very well on special teams, and he's a guy that we know we can put in the game. He's certainly an option to play there. You know, we'll work through that. You know, Reggie's a guy that played out there, and he didn't have a good day tackling, but
right.
We know he does have the ability. He plays nickel for us, and he's
done
a nice job.
How's he done in the nickel role for you this year?
He's done a nice job as a nickel. You know, that's something he's done a really good job moving in there. That's why we know he can move out and play some corner. He had a couple, you know, issues just tackling, and the last couple of weeks he's come back and tackled very well since that one game. And I'll tell you, you put on the tape and watch Tennessee play anybody and whoever they're playing.
They're running.
They're having trouble tackling that running back, and just like teams that play us have trouble tackling Maurice, I mean, that's what happens with great running backs. They're going to make you miss some.
He's got 1,091 yards, Johnson does, to lead the NFL in 9 games. So clearly he's a talented guy.
I didn't say I was accepting that. I just said they're going to make you miss some.
Yeah, and he does.
That means when the first guy misses, the second, third, fourth, and fifth guy got
to
hit him right.
You're
going
to miss. You like to miss at the one-yard line, though, as opposed to your own one and watch him go.
Yeah.
Because he's done that to people. 355-NFL-1, Walters.
I guess.
Right, we'll go to Bob in Switzerland. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, Coach. It's what a wonderful win that was. It was a fun game for us fans to watch.
Very good. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being there this weekend and watching you kill the Bills. But I have a question that I've been wondering about for a long time, and I usually don't get home early enough to call you and ask it. But one thing I don't understand is why we would ever punt the ball inbounds to let somebody run it back on us. Why wouldn't we always just try and kick it out of bounds and keep them from any kind of run back possible?
Well, I think you would only do that, Bob, if you felt that you really couldn't get the guy down, that you couldn't get your coverage down there, and if you had an issue or if the guy was just so good that you just refused to kick it to him. And that every now and then that'll occur. But, you know, our guys, Coach Purnell, has done a pretty solid job this year with our special teams units. You know, we're going to continue to stress that. I know this will be a big challenge this week with Buffalo coming in here. Bobby April does a great job with his special teams. You know, I worked with Bobby in New Orleans under Mike Ditka, and I'm very familiar with Bobby. He's a great guy, and he always does a good job preparing his teams. And they've been excellent at returns while he's been there. So
Roscoe Parrish was the last guy to return a punt against you guys back in 06.
Yeah, so that we know that'll be a challenge. They've got good skill people back there. And you know, right now we've done a pretty solid job this year in terms of punt coverage and keeping guys pinned down. And we're going to have to keep working at it. And hopefully we can keep it up the rest of the year.
All right, due for a break. We'll take it now. Back with more after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We got one more segment here with the head coach. You could join us, 355-NFL-1. Bill joins us now from Orange Park. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was talking to a fellow named Jimmy Giles, who kept saying it was all about the team when he was playing golf. It kind of reminded me of Jones Drew and how he's playing with a lot of heart and playing for the team. But the reason I called, I just wanted to pass on a compliment from a guy named Billy Kilmer. I don't know if you're aware, but he thinks you're a great coach and doing a great job. So I just wanted to pass that along.
There's a quarterback with it.
I sure appreciate that. Give Billy my best if you run into him again. That's what it's all about, and certainly appreciate a compliment like that from a former great, great player in the league.
He was fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the way that he scrambled, reckless.
Yeah, he's a good football player.
Absolutely he was.
So appreciate a compliment like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the phone call. 355-NFL-1. If you'd like to join us, 355-6351. Brent now joins us from the beach. You're on with the head coach. Brent, good evening.
Hey, yeah, how you doing, Coach? I called a couple weeks ago. Was big on you starting to use our tight ends more, and I noticed you did this week, and we're very successful. I hope there'll be more of that. The Jags were built on a lot of good tight ends, Pete Mitchell and Kyle Brady over the years, and we've been very successful with that. And I had one other question, too, about the referees. I noticed 2 weeks ago one of the refs went down. What do they do in that case? Are there spares, or do they just work with less? How does that work?
Yeah, they typically will work with less and just cover the field, you know, with different guys taking on the responsibilities that the official who went down would have had. So that's typically how they handle it.
Good. And more tight ends in the future?
More throws up to Marseilles. Let me tell you something. When you have tight ends make plays like they made, and in that ball game, Marcedes Lewis made a couple tremendous catches, went up strong in traffic, brought the ball down, made big, big-time catches. And then Zach Miller at the end, third and one, third and two, whatever it was there, with a big conversion and a run after the catch. You see that and you get production like that, believe me, the quarterback will look at them more and more and more. So good stuff for us going forward with the tight ends being involved. I appreciate it, Brent, very much.
Man. Thank good you. Job. We'll see you Sunday.
Okay,
thanks for the call, Brent. We certainly appreciate it. Bills come in here. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday afternoon. We will get things started at 10 a.m. with our tailgate show. Noon for the pregame show, whistle-to-whistle coverage in the Winn-Dixie postgame
show.
What's
the weather going to be like?
Scoreboard. It looks like right now, partly sunny, 71 degrees. The weather will not be a problem.
70? No. I mean, a problem. Yeah. It's going to be perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, perfect weather.
November 22nd in Jacksonville.
Week before Thanksgiving.
Is there a better time
no.
for a football game?
No. Now's the time to come out and watch a good team.
Come on out.
Come on, folks. Jack, thanks so much for your time tonight. Appreciate it, Coach.
Okay, Brian. You bet.
That's the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. We'll come back and wrap up the program right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Time to wrap things up, folks, on another Tuesday evening here in Jacksonville. And when you're looking for department store style at discount prices as we head into the holiday shopping season, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Jaguars and Bills Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff. Plenty of good seats available, folks. Time to get out here now. Time to get out and put some people in the stadium for a Sunday afternoon. I don't know that there has been a marked increase in ticket sales for this game. So if you're expecting that to happen, expecting someone else to do it, maybe you should get up and do it yourself, because this Sunday is going to be a beautiful day with a young football team that's playing well. The chance to stay right in the thick of the race. Come on out. Be a good Sunday afternoon to be here. No Dick Geron, in case you're just joining us and you have not heard. The Bills fired the Jaguars' former defensive coordinator. Got to go way back to remember him in that role. Way, way back. He was here in 95, 96, 97, and in 98. So it's been a long time since we've seen him around here, but does still have that tie, and is gone. And they obviously have Perry Fuel, their defensive coordinator, who was here during the Coughlin run as well. And the word out of Buffalo is that he will be the interim coach. You just heard the coach. He said that they're not expecting to see a whole lot different on Sunday afternoon than what they've seen. Maybe a little tempo change. Maybe a little bit of a spark from some players who weren't playing all that well. But not anything that causes great consternation. And just in case you're wondering, yes, the Jaguars have been in this situation before where they have faced a team who had fired their coach during the week leading up to the time that they played the Jaguars. It went back to 1998 when Bruce Coslett was fired by the Bengals in early November. And then the Bengals came down here with Dick LeBeau, and Jaguars went handily. Aaron Beasley had a 90-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. Remember that day pretty well. So, all right, Jaguars and Bills Sunday afternoon right here on WOKV and the WOKV Jaguars Football Network. Thanks to Joe Fortunato and the head coach and to all of you for joining us on the program this evening. Have a good night.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.